Just say a couple of things that's on my mind and on my heart right off the get-go. But, I just want you to understand this as I'm a man and a preacher. First of all, I'm a man. And then on top of that, I'm a preacher. And it's much easier for me to preach to men. It's much easier for me to communicate with men, talk with men, and I'm not trying to be ugly, and I'm not trying to be rude. Please, I want you to understand this. I grew up with three brothers, and I just never have found anything much in common with a woman. I don't like what women like. I don't do what women do. Women like flowers. They like purple. They like pink. They like the shopping mall. They like dresses and tight blue jeans, and I don't like none of that. I'm not looking for any of that. And even as a man, I like loose pants. I can't understand it. Don't want to buy a tight pants. But nonetheless, that's neither here nor there. I'm just trying to tell you that it's not easy for me to talk to women. I don't look to talk to women. I look not to talk to women. I'll just be honest with you. I don't want to talk to women. I don't want to talk to them. As a pastor, I have to, and it's not a burden, and I'm not, you know, trying to be ugly. I'm just trying to be honest with you, okay? And I hope that you can appreciate that and respect that. But usually when there's women around, I'm going to try to find my way out. And I think if there's a man here tonight, you can understand completely what I'm saying, so I don't have to really go into any details. And if your wife don't understand that, I'm sure if you're man enough, you can explain it to her. And I just say that kind of stuff because it's never my intentions to come to church and say anything to hurt people. Now, I can say some stuff my wife can bear witness to out generally talking, and a woman can actually be hurt. And I didn't mean to hurt her by any means. It's not ever been any of my intentions to come to church or anywhere else and hurt somebody. And sometimes I've kept my mouth shut just because I knew that if I did open my mouth, I was going to hurt somebody. And so I just said, just shut up. Just don't say anything. And then I get backslid, and there's times in my life, I'm being honest, there's times in my life, maybe it's backslid, I don't know if it is or not, but there's times in my life I go, well, they probably need to be told some truth right here. And so, you know, just maybe share a little truth. I never will intend to hurt anybody. I want you to understand that. It doesn't do me any good to make you mad. And if I do, maybe I came across the wrong way. Maybe I just came across wrong. And my mama lets me know that I make ugly, mean, frowning faces when I preach. And I don't mean to. I just don't think about my face. I'd rather you didn't look at my ugly face. I'd rather you just kind of look beyond me and try to see the Lord. And but I'm just saying that maybe if I did offend you, not offend you, but hurt you, I just came across wrong. And but then maybe you're messed up. Okay? I mean, honestly, maybe I didn't say it wrong. Maybe I didn't come across wrong. Maybe you're just so messed up that you got hit, right? I mean, I get got, so I need you to understand, it's been on me for some time now to deal with the issue that I'm going to deal with. I mean, some time. And my wife can tell you just from me venting, just from me going, man, this is on me, or man, I got this on my mind. And for some time, it's been on me to deal with this issue. And I want you to know it's here for us to benefit us. It's here to help us. And I hope and pray that somehow this is how you receive it, as help. As help, as beneficiary, as a blessing, as God. Okay, because we're going to take it from the Word of God. With this in mind, I want you to turn with me, please, to Proverbs chapter 31. Now, I have sought long and hard. Trust me, and if you find it, please let me know, because it's very educational, it's very instrumental for me in my life. So if you can find Lester Roloff dealing with Proverbs chapter 31, if you can find him dealing with a virtuous woman, please let me know where you found it or what have you. I would love one more time to be able to listen to him preach on that. And I wanted to be able to hear him preach on that before I dealt with this. I really did. I wanted to see if I could glean anything from the man of God and couldn't find him to save my life. They got 4,000 messages by Lester Roloff, and you can't find one on the virtuous woman. Isn't that amazing? It's just amazing. But, Proverbs 31. The Bible says in verse 10, who can find a virtuous woman? Good question. For her price is far above rubies. I want you to notice the first thing God says is that she is a priceless woman. God put a mighty high price tag on the virtuous woman. I want you to understand that the God of heaven, not your preacher, not your daddy, not your husband, but God put a very high price tag on a virtuous woman. God put her in a pretty good position, pretty good place. He says she's more valuable than rubies. She's priceless. I looked up here some time ago because I've been thinking on these lines for some time. Is she okay?
She says she feels like she's
going to
throw up.
She's going to throw up? If you're going to throw up, go over there with Miss Amber. Go sit on her lap. And is that... She been sick?
A little bit, yeah.
Oh, Lord, that ain't no fun. I just looked up not long ago the price of rubies, and it just, you know, it said that rubies was the costliest gem in their entire family. And they got a really high price tag on them, and they're really, really valuable and really, really expensive. And be honest with you, ladies and gentlemen, if you was to go, I want you to, if you got money, you're more than welcome to try. I wish you would walk into a jeweler tomorrow, and if you could afford to buy you about a $5,000 diamond, and never do anything with it, never remove it from the case or anything, but just the next day turn around and try to sell that diamond and see how much you can get for it. The best buyer, the best seller, the best diamond producer in the world won't give you nowhere near what you pay for that diamond. They get you is all I'm trying to say. They stick it to you with the diamonds. But not so much with rubies. Rubies hold their value. They're pretty valuable. Now, I'm not here to talk about rubies. I'm here to talk about a virtuous woman. Jesus said, God said that her price is far above rubies. Far above it. She's priceless. Can't put a price tag on a virtuous woman. You just can't put a price tag on it. She's worth everything in the world. She's worth everything in the world if you can find her. And I'll be honest with you, you can find her. Because if you couldn't, God said, who can find it? And God said, who? So there is virtuous women to be found. How do we identify a virtuous woman? How do you identify her? Well, as a man, when the Bible speaks to me as a man, I want it to be in my life. If God tells me some things in this book as a man, that I ought to do as a man, as a husband, as whatever. I tell you, I want to take time, ladies and gentlemen, when God points things out in my life through this book, I want to take time to ask God, let's make sure that's incorporated into my life. I want that to be part of me. If I'm supposed to work and take care of the needs of my family, then I want to, as a man, I want to obey that and work and take care of the needs of my family. I just do. Whatever God commands me to do. That's what I want to do as a man. If it's not in my life, ladies and gentlemen, if God has showed me something in this Bible that's not in my life, I, as a man, listen to me. I'm just telling you what I do. It's not toot your horn tonight. I'm just telling you what I do. If God shows me something that's in that book that ought to be in my life that isn't in my life, I stop and take time and ask God to help get that in my life. Lord, help me to adopt this into my life. I want that in my life, whatever the Bible says. I want to change. I want to have it in my life simply because God said so. That's all. The same should be done by you women. And as you see things in the Bible that are virtuous, things that are of virtue, that will classify you as a godly woman, then you should strive to make them part of your life. If you see something in that Bible that has virtue, if you see something in that Bible that would classify you as a godly woman, something that would put you in the classification of a virtuous woman, then you ought to go to the end of the world to see that comes into your life. All right. Look with me, if you will, verse 2. Chapter 31, verse 2. She said, "What, my son? And what the son of my womb? And what the son of my vows?" I want you to understand something. This woman here in Proverbs 31, she's a virtuous woman. This is a good woman here in Proverbs 31. I want you to understand that she made some vows right off the bat in this chapter to the Lord. She made some vows. I would imagine, Mama, by reading and studying the book of Proverbs, one of the vows that she made was she took that boy and laid him on an altar and gave him to the Lord. She said, "Lord, you give him to me. Now here's my vow unto you. I'm giving him back to you. You take him, and I want his life to bring glory and honor to you." And that's what she vowed to God. She vowed that to the Lord. I think a virtuous woman will give her children back to the Lord. Right. It's pretty good. Some of you ought to just be shouting amen. This mother had made a vow unto the Lord. Her vow was to give her son unto the Lord and raise him to bring honor and glory unto the Lord. Now let me ask you a question. There's been times where women have laid their children on the altar and they've claimed that they give them back to the Lord. But are we raising them to bring glory to God? I didn't ask you if you was raising them to make a lot of money or raising them to be famous or raising them to whatever it is that we have in our mind. Are you raising them with a sole purpose that whatever that kid does, his life brings glory and honor unto God? That ought to be our number one goal for our children. Right, that they bring glory to God. I think a virtuous woman will raise her children to glorify God. I say it once more, and this isn't Bible, but it's what I've seen. Okay, and I probably shouldn't say it like that, but I want you to understand, I can support a lot of this through the scriptures, but I'm just going to tell you something that I've seen. I've seen a many of people live for God and have the testimony of a drunken daddy and a praying mama. How many testimonies have y'all heard? You've been in church all your life. I don't know about y'all, but I've heard numerous multitudes time after time again where people was in church and, man, they started giving their testimony. Maybe the man was a preacher. Maybe he was an evangelist. Maybe he was a missionary. And he started giving his childhood testimony. And he talked about a drunken daddy. But, man, they always talked about a praying mama. The songwriters even wrote songs about it. Well, preachers, I can remember them talking about how they'd go down to the outhouse in the wee hours of the morning and they'd pass through that living room and Mama would be sitting over there in a rocking chair at 2 in the morning. I can remember hearing Joe Parsons, some of them old timers, talking about how Mama would be in the living room in the rocking chair and you can hear that mumbling voice as she's crying out to God for her family in the wee hours of the morning. Virtuous women. God, would you raise my children up for your glory? Ladies, I want to tell you something. You are the difference makers in your children's lives. You are the difference makers. You are the difference makers in this world. Us men like to take credit, man. We get to stand up here and toot our horn and sound our little old mouth off. But I promise you, it's the women in our homes that's making a difference in the children's lives. Those children are made or broke by moms in the homes. Right. You won't read in this book anywhere where God talks about that daddy in the home. No, all through this book of Proverbs, you see him talking about that woman in the home raising up him children. Sure, all through here, it's that woman that's impacting their life for the glory of God. Plenty of things in here about man in the home, but when he talks about raising them children, he's dealing with these women. It's good. It's good stuff. Look at verse 3. She didn't only make vows. She didn't only dedicate her children to the Lord. She didn't only raise them to live for God and give God glory, but she said, give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. She warns her sons about women. That's pretty, isn't that amazing? You'd think, and I did as a daddy, I would tell my boys about everything. I'd say, son, watch this, son, watch that. And with a seeing eye, I would set them down in front of living examples and say, I want you to watch and see what's going on here. But glory to God, I found something more priceless, more valuable than a ruby. I tell me, a virtuous woman. You want to know where she got that? She got it from a mama down there at the house teaching her how to be a woman. Them boys figured out how to pick a good woman to marry because there was a mother down there at the house teaching them boys, son, leave them girls alone. Son, stay away from them girls. Son, that girl ain't no good. Tell you what we better do. We better learn how to listen to a good mama. Right? Better learn how to listen to it. That's right. I think if your son or daughter has got their eye on the wrong kid or wrong mate, then mama, you need to step in between them and make some things very clear. Did you hear what I said? Don't be a sissy parent. Don't be a passive parent. Don't be a pansy parent. Step in between your child and that opposite sex and make some things real clear. Right. Somebody ought to ask me, just so we're real clear on this fact. Preacher, did you practice what you're preaching? Somebody ask me that. Miss Holly, did you practice what you're preaching? Thank you, Miss Holly. You better believe I did. I would never encourage anybody to handle the situations like I handled the situations. But I can promise you one thing. When them little hags wasn't no good, Dad and Mom stepped in between them. I lied. No, I'm not lying. I would never encourage you to do what I did. Don't you look at me and my God-given eyeballs real good. And I've got at least two witnesses in here tonight. But I led some of them girls off my stinking property by the hair of their head. Amen. So then, they left with a few less hairs in their head than they came. You say, I wouldn't do that. You may not do that. And I wouldn't encourage you to do that. But I did that, Michael. I showed them off my property by the hair of their head. You say, why? Because I don't want my boys to give themselves to that. I don't want to see my boys live in that hell all their life. Preacher, you're going to jail. I'm trying to go to jail than to see my boys live in that hell all their life. I'd rather go to jail. Step in between them. Don't be passive. Don't allow it. I'll tell you one thing, we had three boys and every one of us pretty tough. I'm telling you, Jacob was a hard cat to hurt. Stout, thick, hard-headed, stupid like his daddy. Couldn't hardly hurt him. Promise you one thing, that little gal right there wasn't scared of him, friend. She'd step in between him so fast it'd make your head swim. If she needed them all back, she'd use them all back. But we done what we had to do to try to keep him out of the ways of the evil woman. Still, in all of our efforts, they still find a way to be stupid. Hey man, I did too. I tell you one thing, when it was in my power and I knew anything about it, I want you to understand, some of these girls in this county knew how we was and they was encouraging my boys. What'd you call the law on your daddy? What'd you call the law on your mama? They can't do you like that. My boys would go, have you lost your mind? We're not calling the law on our parents. Our parents love us. That's why they do what they do. They love us. They care. We're not calling. Are you crazy? Thank God I'm so glad that people made them kind of suggestions. You hear me? Because through them kind of stupid suggestions, my kids could see, Mom and Dad's got a point here. Right. Mom and Dad's got a point. I'm just saying, Mama, step in there. Step in there. Step in there. I won't give the details, but there's a little woman in this church, ladies and gentlemen, that when her boys was doing wrong, I seen her put her finger on the nose of some boys that killed people, Eric. I seen her put her finger on the nose of some old junkies that had killed people and dropped them off over there, never to be found. They said, if you ever get give my kids dope again, I'll tell you. Glory to God for that backbone, son. You hear me? I mean, glory to God. And you think her son's got off leave? No, how'd you like it when a 135-pound mama beating you upside the head, embarrassing the devil out of you in front of your buddies, just beating you half to death like a man? Thank God. Thank God. Step in between them, Mom. Don't let them just go the way of the world. Give it everything you got. Call Miss Stephanie. Hallelujah. She'll help you. Hey, my mama had a brother that was cheating on his wife. His wife called my mama. They loaded up in the car and they found him and they took that old lanyard and ran in the side of his car with his mistress, and he jumped out of the car like a fool and they ran him over, and he said, Dave, I seen every inch of that car, the transmission, the rear end, I seen the mud pan, the oil pan, I seen it all. He said, then the idiots, I saw it again because they backed up and came over me again. Call her, she'll help you. Call her. As far as I know, me and that uncle was pretty tight. And I knew his mistress. But as far as I know, he never did cross the street in front of his house and mess around with his mistress again. He might have went 15 miles down the road, but I'll tell you one thing. He didn't sit over there and spit in his wife's face across the street from her. That's good. Helped a little bit. Helped a little bit. I wouldn't encourage you to do none of that. Times has changed. I just want you to understand that I don't just stand up here and say stand between them. We did more, Michael, than just stand in between them. We put some action to them things. But a virtuous mama will get in between them. She'll get in between that daughter and a mate. She'll get in between that son and a mate. She'll intervene in their life and help them make some better decisions. So we can see that there's patterns in this book for a good woman. There's patterns in this book for good wives. There's patterns in this book for good mothers. There's patterns in this book for good grandmothers. My pattern ain't good. I'm just telling you some real life events. We just had it. We just did things a little crazy and different. Let's just look at what a virtuous woman is. Virtue is strength and power that derives from purity. Are you listening? Strength and power that derives from purity. There's strength and power that God gives you from doing that which is right. God gives you power. He gives you strength. I want you to keep this in mind. I'm going to go ahead and lay this out. We'll deal with this. And this is going to be probably a series of thoughts that we deal with, because there's no way I can squeeze it all in tonight. But number one, this woman is pure in her mind. A virtuous woman is pure in her mind. Number two, she's pure in her mouth. Number three, she's pure in her morals. I believe she's pure in these areas not because she reads the Word of God either. I don't believe her mind's pure because... I don't believe her mouth's pure because... I don't believe she's her morals is pure because she sits and reads her Bible. I believe they're pure because she loves what she reads. Yeah, I believe she loves that Bible. Because he said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. See that what he said there? Good lesson, Sunday. Well, obeying the Word of God. I believe this woman is pure because she loves the Word of God. She loves what she reads. She obeys it. She's pure in her modesty. Hallelujah for that. I still believe in being pure in modesty. And when you get pure in your mind, you'll get pure in your modesty. When you get pure in your mind, you'll get pure in your mouth. You'll get pure in your morals. She's pure in her motives. What is her motives? Her motives is her husband. Her motives are her children. Her motives are her household. That's her motive. She's pure in that. And she's pure in her monetary things. Listen, church. This old gal right here knows how to handle money. She knows how. She does well with the money. She does good. Let's look now, verse 10. Verse 10 says, who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. Do you see that the worldly women are a dime a dozen? I mean, it's all through this book. Worldly women are a dime a dozen. Anybody can be a slut. Anybody can be a tramp. Anybody can be a drunk. Anybody can be that stuff. Anybody can be a sleazeball. But it takes a virtuous woman to have great value. That's right. It takes a virtuous woman to have great value. I mean, wouldn't it be something if we had some young women today that were making treasures of themselves? Are you listening? Wouldn't it be something today if we had a goal, a motive, a desire, a hankering in our hearts to make some kind of great treasure out of ourselves? A treasure. Man, make a treasure out of yourself. You can. Someday some godly young man will come along on a treasure hunt and find this good woman. Ain't that what happens? I'm just saying, according to verse 10, the virtuous woman is a treasure. And she's worth looking for. She's worth obtaining. Can I be honest with you? Somebody's going to be looking for her. Somebody's going to find her. Somebody's going to obtain her. And all the honeymooners in here begin to kiss. I just seen Zach get mushy-eyed over there when I was talking about finding a virtuous woman. Son, I'm going to talk to you after church. I think before you get to verse 11, though, every woman ought to have a desire to be a treasure. Every woman. Do you not understand, ladies, that men are treasure hunting? Men are treasure hunting. They're looking for that woman. They're looking for that woman. God, I wish that I could... My wife can pull up pictures and show y'all just girls that I don't want to be an idiot to you. I don't want to come across wrong, but Matthew's had some girls that was very interested in him, and I'm talking about beautiful little girls. Am I kidding? Just beautiful. And every preacher says that, oh, she's beautiful. I mean, some of them really are beautiful, and some of them ain't. Jacob's had some that wasn't so beautiful. I mean, my son doesn't claim to know Jesus, Michael. He sat back on that pew one day and cried to me. He told me that he didn't know the Lord. We just prayed. That's all. He said, Dad, I don't really know him. He didn't. He didn't have to go through a long story. He just told me his heart. But you know what he tells me, Mama? Hey, these girls ain't worth having. These girls ain't worth it. I know most of the world would look at them girls, and most guys would die to have spend a day with most of them. And you hear some old boy that's, thank God, been around the Bible a little bit in his life, and he looks at you and says, Dad, they ain't none of them worth having either. I said, son, let me tell you something. You're going to probably find her down there in a dilapidated old trailer park with a praying mama. And I hope you do, son. I'm telling you, I hope you do. Thank God. Women, you're to have a desire to fulfill verse 10, to be that treasure. And thank God for those of you that's married. You shouldn't want to be that treasure at this point to nobody else but that man. And I ain't got to deal with that. Look at verse 11. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her. Boy, it's just good so that he shall have no need of spoil. Here in this verse, right off the bat, we can see that she's been sought after. She's been found. This man found this woman. She's a married woman now. She's got children. This virtuous woman. A Man, listen, does not your Bible, and listen, you keep saying, they treasure hunting, treasure hunting. What are you talking about on a treasure hunt? Does not your Bible say a man that findeth a wife, findeth a good thing? I imagine he's out there hunting for her, huh? If he's going to find her, he must be looking for her. Right off the bat, we can see that she's been sought after. She's been found. And verse 11, the heart of her husband doth safely trust in her so that he shall have no need of spoil. You know what this woman's husband can go and do? He can go out to the job, Eric, for 12 hours. If they put him on 12-hour shifts, them old doctors, they have to work around the clock. I mean, it's amazing how many hours sometimes they have to put in, and then they get a few hours off, and then they get right. You know what the Bible says about a virtuous woman? Her man can do that and go to work and never one time have to worry about his wife and what she's doing. You know how many times I've been on the job out there with them old nutcases on the construction job and them old guys talking about their wife and they don't look, she's doing that work. I had one guy, I said, man, nobody knows. I said, listen to me, friend. I don't worry about what my wife is doing when I'm at work. I have been married for almost 30 years and I've never one time worried about what my wife was doing while I was out at work. Don't worry about that. Wouldn't it be nice to know that your husband can trust in you? Huh? A virtuous woman's husband can trust in her. He'll trust her. You know what that whorish woman said in your Bible? See if it's going to ring a bell. She said, hey, buddy, the good man is gone. Come on over to my house. Bitter stolen waters are sweet. Come over here and get you some of my bread. Come over here for some love. For my husband's gone. Who said that, Miss Holly? The Bible says she's a whore. A virtuous woman, her husband's gone. The good man can be gone. He can be gone on a week's journey, Miss Debbie. He ain't got to sit up there and worry about his wife inviting men over. Thank God. He can trust her. Well, we can go ahead and include men here as well. Men, your wife ought to be able to trust in you. Wives ought to be able to trust their husbands when the man goes to work. I'm here to talk about the virtuous woman, but these shoes fit on both feet sometimes. A woman ought to be able to trust her husband when he's away as well. Amen. Her heart ought to be able to trust safely in him. She shouldn't have to sit around and worry, what's my husband doing? Who's he with? Is he making eyes? Is he flirting? I mean, what's he up to today? Shouldn't have to worry about that. She ought to be able to trust safely in him. It's good. So help her homes, if nothing else. I say that if there's been hurt caused, if there's been hurt caused, then from this time forth, you should get it right. Are you listening? I mean, if your husband has hurt you, if your wife has hurt you, if you've been hurt, if there's some kind of distrust, listen, if there's some kind of conflict where you can't really trust each other, you need to come together, face each other, lay all the chips out on the table, come clean one with another, get that junk right, and move on from here forward. Come on. Sit around and have to fret about what each other's doing. Get that junk right and keep it right. Hey, God, man. A man should never have to come in the house. He should never have to come in the house and take his hat off and wave it in the door, like they say. Take your hat off and wave it inside. You know, they say make a poor man out of you for buying hats. Listen, friend. Let's keep this thing right between us. If a husband or a wife can see that the other is seeking after virtue, listen. If a husband or a wife can see that each other or the other is seeking after virtue, then that will plant trust in each other. Are you listening? Wives, if that husband can see that you're seeking after these things of virtue, if he can see that you're a treasure, if he can see these qualifications in you, then I promise you his heart will learn how to trust safely in you, ladies. Sure he will. Be at work, man, having a good time. Right. You gotta be at work worrying. You know what a decent woman would say at this point? A decent woman would say, God help me to be a virtuous woman. I would say up to this point, any woman with good sense in her head would probably say, Lord, help me be this virtuous woman. What woman doesn't want her husband trusting in her? What woman doesn't want to be a treasure in that home? Huh? What woman doesn't want to raise her kids for the glory of God? What woman? You're a crazy woman. What does that word trust mean? It means to have confidence in. It means to place great reliance upon. I got confidence in my wife. Got confidence in my wife. That man was able to go say, man, I got confidence in my wife. I trust her. I'm relying on my wife with great reliance. Then verse 11 says this, so they have no need of spoil. Whew. He had no need of spoil. Church, if you'll study spoil when they was, you know, going out in the war and stuff like that, just go study it in your Bible, what they did with the spoil many times. But I want you to understand this afternoon. I'm just a simple man. I honestly believe a pair of black shoes and white socks and black pants and a white shirt and a black tie will do for any occasion. They might laugh at your socks, but at least Michael Jackson's crowd will appreciate it. But what I'm trying to say is, it doesn't take a whole lot as far as attire, Miss Stephanie, to walk into a bank, Miss Holly, and deal with the biggest banker in the state of New York. Yeah, you can put on a pair of decent black pants and some black shoes and a white shirt, and you're appropriate for the farmer down on the backside of the country somewhere. Sure. It's appropriate. But I'll be honest with you. And I don't do a whole lot of shopping unless it's at the fishing store. I mean, I go down to the fishing store and I don't buy a thing, Michael. I just sit there and cut it. I look at them plugs sometimes. Plugs being, you know, those things with the hooks on them. And I just look at them and go, man, that looks like a shad. I bet a fish would tear that up. And I sit there daydreaming about catching fish with that thing and then turn and walk away. And go over there and look at a rod that costs $74. You go, I wouldn't pay $74 for that, but if the lights would go out, I'd own three of them.
Not really.
You know what I'm trying to tell y'all? My wife takes good care of my clothing. She takes good care of my clothes. I don't even try to dress myself anymore. I don't dress myself. I don't know how. If it ain't what I just said, black shirt, black pants, you know, black tie, I don't know. But I know this, Mama. I could walk out and say, baby, I need something to wear. And she pulled out the world's ugliest tie tonight. And I think she bought it for me. I don't care. Still the ugliest tie. I like it. I didn't say I didn't like it. It's just the ugliest tie I've ever had. You know what I'm trying to tell you? My wife take care of what she takes care of. Takes care of this. Takes care of me. I often said, Mama, years ago, I used to think this, that I could tell in a couple of minutes when we went into church who was married and who wasn't. Which one of those dudes was married and which one of those guys wasn't married. Because the guys that was not married back in those days, listen, those guys came to church and their clothes were still dirty. They were still wrinkled and they were all kind of smelly. Right. And you just knew right off the bat, those guys are not married. They're taking care of their own clothes. Right. But then here come this old cat that had this woman, and she cared a little bit about, you know, her husband, and she would wash them clothes, and she would put, hey, listen, y'all ain't going to believe this. Y'all are not going to believe it. There's this thing that we used to have back in the day that was called an ironing board, and it was an iron that went with it, and women would literally put pants on there and iron the wrinkles out in the shirt. It's hard to believe, ain't it? Something like that ever existed. I'm glad y'all are laughing. I'm so glad y'all are laughing. That nets me off the hook so good. A virtuous woman will take care of her man. Listen to me. I said a virtuous woman will take care of her man. She'll make sure his clothes are pressed and clean. Preacher, I don't like that. Then you take the spoil out of the Bible. You take the spoil and tell God what an idiot he is for putting that in the Bible, because God's the one that said a virtuous woman is going to take good care of that spoil. Them's his clothes, ladies and gentlemen. I think a woman ought to take that man's clothes and have them babies crisp and clean and iron them things up. Praise God, put a crease in it for it, put a nice clean shirt on. Hey, man, and have that thing right. Amen. That's what a virtuous woman will do. If you won't do that for your man, you need to line up with this book. That's not virtuous. That's not a virtuous woman. A virtuous woman will make sure that man is taken care of. She'll make sure when he leaves the house, he's present. Listen, but he ought to be known in the gates. He ought to be known. Good stuff. Y'all quit laughing. I liked it better when y'all was laughing at me a while ago. Verse 12 says this. Listen at what she said. The Bible said she will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She'll do him good. Miss Holly, how many women have you heard try to seek a way to find vengeance on their husband? That's not a virtuous woman. A virtuous woman ain't going to try to find vengeance. A virtuous woman ain't going to try to get even. A virtuous woman, she ain't going to go on. She'll bury that hatchet. Amen. Good night. I think somebody just choked on part of that hatch. I didn't get amen. I got a gulp. I go, You know what I'm sure of? I'm sure this woman had bad days, ladies and gentlemen. I'm sure she had bad days. I'm sure there were days that everything wasn't just peachy between her husband and her children. I'm sure. But the Bible says that she did her husband good and not evil. All the days of her life, every day, she did that man good. Are you listening? Listen, fellas, we get preached to. I preach to the men too. But tonight, this series is going to be for the women. You see, she realizes that just as God made Eve for Adam, she was made for her husband. She was made for her man. She was made for her husband. God made Eve for Adam. Would you believe that he made Stephanie for David? Would you believe that he made Hannah for Eric and Tanya for Michael? Sure he did. And when a woman begins to realize, God made me for him, a helpmeet, ladies and gentlemen, is the right help. There is wrong help. Every woman ain't a helpmeet to me. Most of them are the wrong help. That's the right help for me. That's the one God let me birth in my town, in my area, in my life, so that she could be to me what this woman is to her husband. And it will be your desire, ladies, I keep saying this, it will be your desire to be that woman to your husband, that virtuous woman. I'll be honest with you, church. Y'all get to see me, and you get to see me at my best. I don't never dress like this. I hate neckties. I hate collars. If I had my way about it, I'd wear a t-shirt. I'd come to church with a sweatshirt. I'd wear my old khaki work pants and my brogue gaiters and my tennis shoes. But y'all get to see me at my best. Can you imagine me at my worst? I mean, Amber seen me close to my worst, but I still put on a pretty good show for her when she's around. I don't want to see the stupidest side of me that there is. But she, on the other hand, gets to see the worst of me. Mama, she's seen my little temper tantrum. She's seen me act one like a little girl before. She's seen me when my emotions has completely controlled me and I throw stuff through the house. But you know what? The Bible says that she did him good and not evil all the days of her life. I don't have any sad reports. I just don't. Listen, church. Whether you're on your best behavior or bad, worst behavior, I think that we ought to strive to do each other good all the days of our life. So we should. I tell you what I think. And Eric ought to be the one preaching this. I mean, he really should. But I think as men, we ought to try to make it easy for women to do us good. I think as men, we ought to strive to make it easy on our women to do us good and not evil. Mama, there's been a many a times in my life where I said, if I was married to that sucker, I would kill him. I'll be honest with you, I've seen men, and some of them can act plumb like a mule. Meet me after church and I'll tell you what I really think. They'll act like a mule, and I said, boy, if I was married to that sucker, I would kill him. I'd pick up something in the middle of the night and bust his head. Right. And you say, why are you saying that? Because I think we're to try to do our best to make it easy for our wife to want to do good to us, right? Sure. Make it easy. Man, I tell you what, I don't have a whole lot going for me. At least I can say nice things, you understand? I mean, I don't have a Taj Mahal for her to live in, and we don't have Mercedes to drive. I don't have a large bank account. I don't even have a bank account. Spend every single thing I get. Amen. And sit over there in the middle of Gander Mountain and wait on another check to come. So I gotta have some money, man. I better learn how to be nice to her so she'll be good to me. Right. You got a whole lot to offer. I'll be honest with you, I've looked around this congregation with and without my glasses, and y'all ain't got a whole lot to offer either, so you better learn how to be good to her. Hey, Eric, you should have been the one preaching that. You say, why? Because Eric's twice the husband I ever dreamed of being. I mean, bud, that woman back there would have bowed down at his feet, like we're going to soon have to as a professor and a doctor. Listen, I'm not being stupid. I know that. I'm telling you, you get to see me at my best. I changed one doo-doo diaper in my entire life as a daddy. And when I did, I took a stinker behind the house and ripped it off of him and squirted him down with a water hose because I wasn't going to touch him. And then I sprayed him with Lysol and wrapped him up in a towel, and he's kicking and screaming because he's got a rash. And I laid him over in a towel till his mama come home. Shouldn't have never left him with me. And don't even get me started on men. A man shouldn't change it. A man should never see his children naked. And that's my preference. That's just what I preach to my wife. So I'm just saying, thank God for good men. I've been in testimony services before church, and I've heard my wife, Michael, give in a good service. Emotions is high. Ooh, them independent fundamentals, man. They got a good fag quartet up there singing, pumping their hips. The music's going, 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 going. And then everybody, woo, getting all emotional. And one of the kids started crying, so mama's going, oh, my God, God's real. And they start testifying. I've seen my wife stand up, start bragging, boy, I thank God for my husband. Man, I tell you, get in the car. It didn't take me a day. We're riding down the road. She's looking out the window. She's looking. And it's like a cloud of funk up in that car. It's heavy, it's dark, it's cold. I'm going, baby, you all right? Uh-huh. I've been married long enough, Michael, to know that that uh-huh means everything in the world but uh-huh. And I start going through in my mind, what did I do? I didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, during the middle of that testimony. I didn't know, Zach. I was young. I didn't know. I hadn't been married but 10 years. I didn't know that there was a little voice in the back of her head when she was standing up going, I want to thank God for my husband. But then that little voice back there was going, yeah, till that sucker makes you mad. I didn't know she had two voices. So we ride down the road and I done something stupid. You know, I mean, I can't even begin to tell you how stupid. And she's got that cold thing going, looking out the window. And that little voice is back again talking to her. I can't hear it. It's not even fair. She's over there communicating in her head with some little old voice that talks to her when she's mad at me. And I don't have a clue what's going on. Right. All that joking aside, she's sitting over there with that little fella in the back of her mind talking to her. And her brain is a ticking time bomb waiting to go off on me. Now, I said all that, and it sounds about half funny, but you know how many men can bear witness to what I just said? I mean, son, looking out the window, and they're getting all quiet, and you go, you okay? Uh-huh. George, I just said that to say this. We were to make it easy on each other to do good. Huh? We're to make it easy. I know what I'm talking about. I know exactly what I'm talking about. I know that I cut up and we have a good time. And boy, I was worried about coming to church and making you ladies mad and come in here. The Lord's just blessed you with a happy spirit. And boy, I hope you go home happy. And boy, hey, pastor's so good. I'm going to give him a love offering. Birthday's coming up in April. Everybody ought to do something big. I don't mean to be so personal, but personal is where I'm at. It's just what I live. It's practical. Eric, my mama had to work, a job. And many times she would work at least 8 hours, and sometimes overtime, 10 hours. And I don't know, I can't remember if they ever made a full 12. I don't know if they did that kind of stuff or not, but I know they made them work 10 hours on several occasions. But as a child growing up, Michael, I can remember this. I can remember, even though she worked 8 hours or 10 hours, there was always a full course meal on the table after she got home. Now, she made preparations. She might have had some stuff in a crock pot. She might have had some stuff in the oven just simmering or whatever the women do. But I can tell you this much. We never did go without a decent meal at night, home cooked. We didn't go out, ladies and gentlemen. Eating out was going to Hardee's on Sunday, and that was huge if we ever got. Going to Hardee's was big in our day. We just didn't get to go out to eat. And didn't really want to. We had some of the best food in the world. Right there on top of the hill just past our house, look at Mark. Oh, yeah. I'm just kidding. We had some of the best food in the world in our house. How would you like to, Eric, have this? Go to work 8 hours. Come home. And yes, you know, we tried to help. I did. My brother did, Jonathan. He would wash clothes. And I mean, he was good, man. He was such a good kid. And I can remember Mama would come home and get that oven going, that supper, and it was always so good to be home around supper time. And I can remember my old stepdaddy coming in the house and Mama said, well, we've been waiting on you. Just that little bit, Michael, would tick him off. We've been waiting on you. Been trying to keep the food warm. That little bit would tick him off because he wanted to get ticked off. You hear me? He wanted to be mad. And he'd look at my mom and his wife and say, I ain't eating that feces. And I just churched that up. Look at your wife and say, I'm not eating that feces. I'll go to Hardee's and get something decent. Huh? We make fun of that down at the house. We make fun of that sucker for doing it. But I tell you, you want to rip a woman's heart out? Wait till after she has labored over that stove and go over and tell her her food is feces and Hardee's is more decent. That ain't no way to get a woman to do good and not eat. Huh? I'm telling you, friend, that's a good way to get some rat poison in your mashed potatoes, your green beans or something. It's hard for people to do good to people like that. But that little man on the wall right back there. Before God saved him, took every rack in his refrigerator out. Every rack. Threw the racks out. Told his wife, said, you ain't having food. He did. He drunks don't care about eating, they care about drinking. Don't care about eating. They can get flipped by eating. Don't care about groceries. Somebody can bring them a plate, they get hungry enough. Everybody takes care of the drunks. Ripped all the shelves out of his refrigerator and told his wife, said, you will have no food in this refrigerator. And she would have to go over to her neighbor's, walk over through the woods, and put food over at her neighbor's house if she's going to have any food. That old man would sit over there like Marine Meaner, a codger sit over there and give me a beer. I'm talking about a godly woman, a virtuous woman. Miss Frances, a virtuous woman. Give me a beer. That virtuous woman would walk over to that refrigerator and get a beer out and pop it open. Never say a word. Take it to that old mean man. Give it to him. She'd sit over there and pray. She'd sit over there and pray. You say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about she did him good and not evil. That's not my testimony. That's his testimony. Boy, he talked about how good she was and how it used to convict him when she wouldn't fuss and he'd fill that refrigerator up with beer and make her holler over there to him and her a church woman, a good woman, a godly woman, and her open not her mouth and just serve him and wait on him and bless him and do him good and love on him. He said, man, they used to tear me all to pieces. He said, what are you talking about a virtuous woman? A whole lot of that left anymore, ladies and gentlemen. You're going to have to be good to me. You're going to have to be good to me. Let me say this. Listen to me. Shame on a woman that won't cook for her man. Shame on a woman that won't cook a meal for her family. A virtuous woman's going to do that. Do you hear me? A virtuous woman's going to make sure that's taken care of. It ought to rip your heart out of you, woman, if you're too sorry to cook a stinking meal. I'm talking about not once a week. I'm talking about on a daily basis. You ought to have food prepared for that family every day. Woman. Woman. That's who we're talking about in Proverbs 31 is a virtuous woman, not a virtuous man. And the Bible talks about her preparing the food. Look at verse 13. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. A virtuous woman is consumed with a heart for her husband, a heart for her children. So she's busy looking after the welfare of her family that she doesn't have time to hang out anywhere else. That's one of the reasons why I want to hear Roloff preach this. Man, he preached this part. And I'm telling you, it was a blessing. I wish I could remember it. I'm not going to preach against Facebook, ladies. Don't get me wrong. I probably should, but I'm not going to. I'll tell you this much. I don't think you're going to find a virtuous woman on it. Now listen, before we get all crazy, I want you to understand, if y'all trying to run that business and y'all are running that business out of Facebook, that's why I'm not going to preach against Facebook. I can completely understand making a living and using it for the right reasons. It's benefiting their home. I can understand that. I'm talking about that social life junk. I went to the grocery store and bought a cucumber. care. I'm just, you're not going to find the virtuous woman on Facebook in that way. You're not going to do it. They're not there. They're not there. You say, why? Because she don't have time for it. A virtuous woman don't have time for that. How many of y'all, don't answer the question, how many of y'all raised some good old cabbage this winter out in the yard, out in the garden? Huh? It's amazing what we do and don't have time for. A virtuous woman will raise a garden in the winter. Don't you forget that, baby. I've preached that to you all my life. Am I just making this up? This virtuous woman is so busy looking after the welfare of her family that she doesn't have time to hang out everywhere else. I know I lose a lot of people when I get on some of this stuff. But virtuous women don't have time for social media. They just don't. They do not have time, listen, to sit around and talk on the phone all day. A virtuous woman will not be on the phone all through the day. A virtuous woman won't. We're going to prove it. Tell you what they don't have time to do. A virtuous woman don't have time to go from house to house. Does your Bible talk about this stuff going from house to house? We're going to read it in a little bit. So be careful before you get critical, because you're going to be calling God the idiot, the liar. You don't have time to be going from house to house. What time you do have, you need to be there at your house, taking care of the needs of your house, making sure everything at your house is taken care of. Everything. Good. Virtuous woman did not have time to mess around. She was about taking care of her family. That's all she was concerned. She was consumed with meeting the needs of her family. Can I tell you what this is? It's a pure mind. It takes a pure mind for a woman to think like this. That was number one we said we was going to discuss, a pure mind. All this that we've covered so far is coming, Michael, strictly from a pure-minded woman. Her mind is right where it ought to be. There's no way that you or I can look at everyone else's social junk, listen, and have a pure mind. I can't do it. I can't do it. When my wife Facebook stalks, it destroys my pure mind about as soon as I see it. I'm not being ugly. And I don't think she really Facebook stalks. You know, I don't know why we get emails from people's Facebook. I don't have a clue. She'll click on the emails and there'll be, and she'll, David, look at this. And I mean, 99% of the time, I don't even want to look at it. But when I do look at it, a lot of times it just messes with my mind. Huh? I wish to God, church, I'll be honest with you, in one sense, I wish that I had never seen that stuff that I showed y'all Sunday of that, you know, one of my old independent fundamental Baptist buddies in this meeting with this bunch of sodomites and everything, whatever they are. It's sickening. It's hard to have a pure mind when you're in everybody else's business. Is that not so? Sure it is. I've seen people live like a bunch of pigs. I mean, house nasty. You know, listening? House dirty. House not picked up. Dishes not washed. Are you listening? I've seen stuff, ladies and gentlemen. And yet, want to hang out. Don't hang out. But you can't do that. Want to hang out. Let me finish before you get mad at me. I said, if you're doing what you should be doing, there would be no pigsties. Are you listening? If you're doing what a virtuous woman does, there will be no pigsties. Now, my house is a total disaster. Total disaster. I got floors halfway cut out. I got holes. I got insulation poked in holes. It's hanging out of the ceiling. It's hanging out. Michael, it's a disaster. I got two issues, time or money. When I've got time, I have no money. When I'm making money, I don't have time. Is that how it goes? Sure it is. You're making money because you're out there busy, busy, busy. When you ain't busy, you run out of money, but you got plenty of time. So I got junk all over my house. And if you looked at my house, I would honestly have to tell you, it's just that we're too blessed. We're too blessed. We've got too much. Too much. It ain't so much that it's nasty. We just got too much. We can donate enough clothes to feed a family of five for the next 5 years. I'm just telling you, we're that blessed. God's been that good to us. And we don't have the room to put everything that we've got. We need to get rid of some stuff. And she's the one that says, we need to get rid of stuff. And I'm the hoarder. I'm the pack rat. And I go, no, I might need that. And I promise you, if I can find out that she got rid of something, I'm going to find a way that I needed it in the next 2 weeks. I told you I needed that. Yeah, Lord. Oh, Lord. Listen to me. I'm all for people having fun. I'm all for people being able to go to the mall. I'm all for having fellowship. I'm all for having friends. But listen to me. Before we do these little fun things, we need to make sure the home's taken care of. We need to make sure that house is clean. We need to make sure the meals are prepared. We need to make sure the clothes is right. Everything. Is this not what Proverbs 31 is going down through here talking about? Would you at least say amen? Because I know you, well, you're old-fashioned enough to like what I'm saying. Look at verse 13. I like this one. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. What does that tell you, ladies? The virtuous woman is a working woman. She's a worker. Didn't say she was a shopper. I'm not against shopping. Go shopping. But for God's sake, get the work done first. She's a worker. I've always told my boys, Michael, pay before you play. Pay before you play. Boys, you want to have a good time? Go to school. Get your education. Do all the hard stuff, the nasty stuff, the dreadful stuff. Work hard. Man, work hard. And then maybe somewhere down the road you can enjoy this stuff a little bit. But I'll promise you one thing, boys. If you start having fun now, you'll pay for it later. That's right. You'll pay for it later. Somewhere down the road, you're going to have to pay the dues, ladies and gentlemen. I'd assume we pay them up front. And I think women ought to get the work done. A virtuous woman's a working woman. Thank God for a woman that doesn't have to be told, but takes initiative to do things. Huh? Hey, I'm not here to toot my wife's horn tonight. I'm just hoping to God she don't go home with that voice in the back of her head on me. I was worried about it all day. Just going home out of sorts with her. Hey.
Box.
Amber. I can't hardly get Miss Debbie to ever sit down with me in the living room, can I? She don't sit around with me. There's plenty of areas my wife fails. But I'll tell you one thing she don't fail in. She ain't lazy. Thank God she ain't lazy. She's a worker. Appreciate that. Working woman. She's a worker. Takes care of her man. She's always took care of my children. Right? There's areas that we both need improvement. Tremendous improvement. And her more than me. But she works willingly. Verse 14 says, she is like the merchant ships. She bringeth her food from afar. Isn't that amazing that she's doing all that? I've seen these little old pansy women. They couldn't. Bless God. They talk about whooping somebody. You can't even. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Quit worrying about whooping somebody. Whoop up some Betty Crocker. Whoop up some eggs. Amen. Quit beating on everybody. Start beating on that pan in there. Amen. That's right. It's good.
It's all right. Let your man go out there and beat the ground with that hoe for a little while. He can beat something. Beat them youngins. Verse 14 and 15 says this. She's like a merchant ship. She bringing forth her food from afar. She rises. Listen, ladies. Ain't this something? The preacher is such an idiot. She riseth also while it is yet night. You mean that crazy woman gets up in the dark? You mean to tell me she don't lay up in the bed, bless God, to 9 o'clock? You mean she don't lay in the bed to 8 o'clock? What? Is the daylight up at 8 o'clock? Then she's up, friend. She's up when it's dark. A virtuous woman's up when it's dark. Is that what your Bible just said? Tell me, is that what your Bible just said? That's what your Bible said about a virtuous woman. She's up in the night. Doing what? Preparing them meals for the family. Preparing to take care of the needs for her husband and her children. Isn't it amazing? Now, I did see them old gals up there in Alaska, them Alaskan frontiers. I don't know why, about 2 years ago, I seen an episode, and that one old girl up there, you know who I'm talking about? Y'all know about Alaskan frontiers? I was just checking to see who all had a TV. And half of you just lied. And no, I'm just kidding. But that one old boy had a girl, she was 9 months pregnant. She was out there splitting firewood and hauling it up there to the house, preparing for winter. 9 months pregnant. She climbing up the side of an old mountain out there picking some berries one day. 9 months pregnant. Wicked as a devil too. That didn't make her virtuous. But I tell you one thing, a virtuous woman would get up while it's still night and do good every day. Every day. Amen. That's a good preacher. Boy, y'all making me feel like a red-headed stepchild now. She rises while it's yet night. You ain't going to catch her sleeping in. Oh, no, friend. She gets up while it's still dark outside just to make sure her family's fed. Ladies, make sure your family's fed, please.
I shouldn't even say that. Let me just take that back. A virtuous woman will make sure her family's fed.
I wish that God said, Michael, that a virtuous man would make sure his family's fed. But didn't the Bible just say a virtuous woman is doing these things?
We'll find out where we're at with God. You hear me? We'll find out where we're at with God if we'll just open our ears to the Word of God. We'll find out where we're at. It gets me, boy. I'm telling you, this book gets me. Thank God. That's how I get closer to it. Verse 16 says, she considereth the field and buyeth it. With the fruit of her hand, she planteth a vineyard. You mean to tell me Roloff was right about that woman planting a garden? You mean to tell me, Mama, she's got time to do all the stuff that she does? I mean, Eric's talking about getting a tiller and getting the weeds out. Are you kidding me? This woman's doing everything that she's doing. And then in the morning, while it's still dark outside, she gets up. And the Bible says she goes to great extents. She goes far. She'll go to whatever she's got to do extent-wise to make sure her family's taken care of. Ain't that a blessing? My wife ain't bought no field. But I'll tell you one thing. There's other things she does that's a real supplement and a real help to us. And that's what we ought to try to be. And we ought to try to help supplement, be a blessing and help in these areas. It takes a tremendous load off. Man, getting understand. What is her strength? Verse 16 says, she considereth the field and buyeth it. Then she girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. What is strength, ladies and gentlemen? Her obedience to the Scriptures. That's her strength. That's where she draws her strength from, the Word of God. Obeying this book. This woman here, church, measures herself up against the Word of God. She says, let's see how I'm doing. And she holds the Word up to her and sees how, measures herself up to that. That's good. That's good. Just in case you think I'm off track with some of this, let's go down to verse 27. I'm going to skip some verses. Hopefully one night we'll come back to it. Verse 27 says this. She looketh well to the ways of her household and eateth not the bread of idleness. You know what I call Facebook? idleness. You know what I call socializing? Idleness. You know what I call all this stuff, Miss Stephanie, all this fun activity? Idleness.
Idleness.
Idleness. Woman ain't got time for that. She eateth not the bread of idleness. Hey, ladies, when a woman spends more time dealing with things outside the home than you do things inside the home, it'll drive your husband absolutely crazy. There's nothing I hate more than my wife start telling me everything that everybody else is doing. Nothing that I can hate anymore. And sometimes I'll just bite my tongue because I don't want to start nothing. But listen, worry about what's inside that home first. Let's get inside the home. Let's get all this taken care of first. And then let's start worrying about everybody else. You're going to find you ain't got time to start taking care of that home. It just drives a man crazy when she's busybody. Huh? When that old woman's a busybody, she's worried about everything outside the home. That man, if he's a man at all, couldn't care less about Susie going to the mall in her stinking pajamas. Care about her. How she was down there in her pajamas. I couldn't care less. When's supper? That's what I care about. Care about that? Do I have clothes for tomorrow? You know what the word idleness means? She don't have time for it. She don't eat this bread. The word idleness means laziness. It means unoccupied in things that matter and occupied in things that doesn't matter. Look with me, if you will, please, in 1 Timothy. We're about done. What time is it? Oh, my goodness. My goodness, time just flies away. First Timothy 5, please. Let you see this for yourself. And I know in the context of the scripture, this is dealing with a widow. But look at 1 Timothy 5, verse 11. It says, but the younger widows refuse. But when they have begun to wax wanton against Christ, they will marry, having damnation because they have cast off their first faith. And withal, they learn to be idle. Isn't that something? Now, let me ask you a question. How does a woman learn how to become idle? How does she learn how to become occupied in things that doesn't matter and unoccupied in things that do matter? How does she become lazy? Look at what your Bible says. Wandering about. Somebody say that. From house to house. You want to know how you get idle? Start hanging out in other people's house. Is that what your Bible just said? But she got idle. How did she do that? Wandering from house to house. And not only idle, but tattlers. Ain't that something? Can't shut that mouth. Got that mouth. Go tell something about somebody. Also in busybodies. Speaking things which they ought not. Isn't that amazing? It sounds like your preacher might have read the book of Timothy. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. For some are already turned aside after Satan. If any man or woman that believeth have widows, let them relieve them, and let not the church be charged, that it may relieve them that they are widows indeed. Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they that labor in the word of doctrine. Ladies, that's just good Bible. In verse 13, we can see that women learn how to be idle. Ladies, listen, I'm not against you having friends.
You ought to have friends. This church ought to be friends. This church ought to be friends. This church ought to be friends with one another. Kaylee, look up here at me. How many people in here is your friend? I mean, how many of them asked you to be your friend? I would venture to say if she would open her mouth, she'd give me a big old goose egg. If anybody in this church needs a friend, she needs a friend in the church house. Would somebody step up and be that girl's friend? Would somebody step up in this church and love her like a real friend? Because I promise you, it wouldn't be allowed none of us to criticize every mistake she makes. I'd do it in a flat heartbeat, Miss Stedney, if I could be a girl. We need friends. What I'm trying to say, Miss Hollis, we need to pick our friends wisely. We pick our friends wisely. I would to God I could see some of these women slide over to another woman. I mean, in love, in the Holy Ghost. You've been practicing this stuff down there at your house. You've been practicing this stuff down there in your home. And you just come down here, maybe not even down here around nobody, just slide around behind the building and put your arm around somebody else and say, I want you to know I'm here for you and I love you. If you need me, I'm here. Just how's things going? And you maybe get involved and, you know, show some interest and be a friend to somebody. I'm all for friendship and fellowship, but you better do it under the guidance of the Holy Ghost. That's right. Ladies, the reason God put this in the Bible is because it's a problem. Do you understand? God didn't put this in here because it's not an issue. He put it in here because it is. Let's go back to Proverbs 31 and I'll quit. I'll be done. I want you to see real quick before we go home tonight, because I don't want you to go home mad at me. I want you to go home seeing some of the benefits to being a virtuous woman. And it's just in the next verse. Verse 28 says, what's good about a virtuous woman? Well, her children will arise up and call her blessed. That's pretty good, ain't it? Boy, for your children to rise up and bless you like that, ain't that something? I mean, what mother wouldn't like for their children to rise up and bless them? Then her husband ain't down there running his mouth for her husband also. And he praiseth her. Man, thank God when a man can praise his wife. Huh? It's a blessing to hear a man praise his wife. I ain't saying, boy, I love her. I ain't talking about, boy, I love her. Oh, I love her. I'm talking about praising her. I couldn't tell you the last time I heard too many men praising their wife. And it ain't because they don't love them. They love them. We're done. When we're finished with this entire series, I want you to know that there are a lot of things I mentioned here tonight that a woman can do and still not be virtuous. Are you listening? There's a lot of things that you can do in this Proverbs and still be wretched and vile and wicked as ever. I know women, Miss Stephanie, that cooks every meal for their family. They keep the house nitpick clean, but they're the biggest hags this side of the Mississippi. That's right, they're wicked as hell. Right, mean, just mean as the devil. But yet their house is clean. Their skirts are long. I mean, they got all that kind of stuff down pat. They feed their family. They do some mighty good things. And that's good. That's commendable. Doesn't mean they're virtuous. Doesn't mean they're virtuous women. I've known some ungodly women that work hard and feed their families. They clean their house, but at the same time, you cannot disobey things in this book and be a virtuous woman. You just can't. Look here, ladies. A church will always be lacking and will never grow. Listen, without godly women. I want you to understand something before we leave. This church right here would not even be here if it wasn't for you women. We wouldn't be here. We would not be here. Wouldn't have this church. It wouldn't go. And I'm going to be honest with you. It's not going to ever go any further.
unless the women do the right things.
Right.
Jesus Christ came through the womb of a mighty man. Jesus Christ rode upon the back of Samson to enter this world. No, sir, friend. God found a little old virgin girl over there and said she's going to carry the seed through that. We're going to have us a church. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, thank God, women. This church can't go on without you. It can't grow without you. It can't glow without you. It can't be prosperous and profitable without you women. The church needs you. All this that we looked at tonight is simply the mindset of a virtuous woman. It's not her mouth. It's not her motives. We just looked at her mindset tonight. This is where her mind is, on her family. What is her mind? Her mind is her husband and her children and their needs and making sure that the care of that home is taken. Thank God for that woman. Ladies, it's my desire for you. It's my desire for this church to be a church of virtuous women. To see our homes filled with virtuous women. To see Miss Tanya raise that little girl to be a girl one day that some boy, when he sees that, son, that's going to be a treasure chest to some boy. You hear me? That could be a real treasure right there to some boy. If she'll walk according to the pages of that blessed book, the words of that book, girl right there, that little boy right there can grow up, man, find him a woman that'll love him and support him and cook for him and clean for him and be the right help in his life and help him through this old world. I'm telling you, man, thank God, have a little piece of heaven on this old nasty world. With all the junk that's going on up there in Washington in this world, ladies and gentlemen, you and I can go home tonight and have peace. We can have love in our homes. Huh? A smile, happiness. Father, thank you for this time. Lord, I know I've been long tonight, but dear God, I pray that you'd help us. Lord, help the women of this congregation have a desire to be virtuous. Lord, I didn't preach my preference tonight. I preached thus saith the word of God. Lord, if we have a problem tonight, it's a problem with what you've got to say. Lord, I believe I've rightly divided this Proverbs 31. According to the way you've given it to me, God, I got it from the Bible and nowhere else. I pray, God, that you'd help me in Jesus' name. Help this congregation. Thank you for everybody and keep them safe. Amen.